WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. We are hours away from the government shutting down as the passage of a budget seems unlikely at this point. The Democrats demanding the government subsidies be brought back to help people pay for health insurance. ABC's Rachel Scott has more on the stakes.
This is a big question before Democrats. Is this strategy going to work? And is it actually worth it? Shutting down the government comes with a major risk. At the same time, they're really putting a lot of weight in health care. They know that if these health care premiums rise for millions of Americans, voters may be actually really upset at Republicans instead of them.
Hamas says it will study the peace plan for Gaza that has the support of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu now and many in the international community. President Trump and Defense Secretary Hegseth will address hundreds of high-ranking military officials who've been called to a gathering in Virginia today. No additional bodies found in the rubble of a Mormon church in Michigan, where a gunman opened fire and set the building ablaze on Sunday. This is ABC News.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's a new King of the Hill at the theater. A big-time director, an all-star cast, and excellent reviews could not keep one battle after another from the top spot at last week's box office. The Paul Thomas Anderson-directed film that stars Leo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, Regina King, and Benicio del Toro opened at the top with $22 million and $48.5 million worldwide. It also set a record as the highest-grossing open of Paul Thomas Anderson's career. Last week's number one, Demon Slayer, Infinity Castle, dropped to number three this past weekend with a haul of $7.1 million at the gate. Coming in at number two was G-rated Gabby's Dollhouse, the movie, which brought in $13.7 million. The Conjuring Last Rites came in fourth place with just under $7 million this week, its fifth in theaters. And finishing at number five was another new release, horror flick The Strangers Chapter 2, which finished at just under $6 million. Lots of good variety at the box office and more to come. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks add coffee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks introduced their new 6'7" forward, Amir Coffee, at their media day. Coffee played for Bucks head coach Doc Rivers when the two were together at the LA Clippers.
I got on the phone with Doc and we had a couple good conversations. And, I felt comfortable with the decision I made to come here and, start back up with him.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, unable to attend, he's still in Greece with COVID and was asked on a Zoom call, how's he doing after playing in the European League this summer?
Me personally, I'm feeling good. My confidence is in an all-time high right now. Can't wait to, get on the court with the guys and try to represent the team in the best way possible.
Baseball, the Cubs host the Padres in the wild card playoffs. The winner of that three-game series will face the Brewers in the National League Divisional Playoffs in Milwaukee on Saturday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, retired Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Chris Foran discusses great stories he's covered and talks movies. And Sean Hanisch discusses the theatrical release of No Packers, No Life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 74 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low dropping into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Federal government shutdown looms, healthcare in danger. We'll discuss it with Sean Fetteplace of the Main Street Action Alliance. Also, Alex Bedorsky is in talking about Knowles Nelson Conservancy.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This morning, World Dairy Expo 2025 officially begins. So glad you're along with us as we get started on a Tuesday morning. Weather looks like it's going to be gorgeous. Whether you're spending it in the backyard gardening, maybe in a field harvesting soybeans, or coming to World Dairy Expo, not much to complain about weather-wise. Above average temperatures again today under sunny skies, right around 82 degrees. Our expected high with a little bit of a breeze. Tonight down to 56. Tomorrow a little cooler, but still sunny. 78 our expected high on Wednesday. Thursday, sunshine, another warm day, back up to 84. On Friday, sunny and 87. By that time, we'll all be ready to be in October. Kind of crazy. We'll find out about those crazy weather details when Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, joins us. So hear me out. Yes, you are going to hear a lot about World Dairy Expo this week because it is the granddaddy of the dairy shows. It is where Wisconsin dairy and international dairy gather together. But we're also, as a team here on the Midwest Farm Report, going to give you a reason why you should be involved. Stephanie Hoff has a great example of a gathering point everybody enjoys at World Dairy Expo. And it focuses on food. Stick around for those details. Also catching up with our buddy John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Wisconsin's doing a pretty good job moving forward on the harvest with this kind of cooperating weather. Is that the case everywhere? What does John see influencing our markets? He will bring us all the details he can bear as we roll our way through the morning. Thanks for joining us, by the way.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world. To integrate a global ag and energy supply chain. To advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world. To build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
Join our friends from Compeer and Pam Yonke at World Dairy Expo on Friday, October 3rd at 9:30 a.m. Compeer is dedicated to agriculture in rural America by providing financial services throughout 144 counties in the Midwest. Learn more at Compeer.com.
Pam will continue her coverage of World Dairy Expo with BioVet and Imperio on Wednesday, October 1st at 9:30 a.m. at booths 1503 and 1504 in the exhibition hall. BioVet and Imperio are your trusted partners in animal health. Stop by or visit bio-vet.com.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Did you just plant Pioneer Brand Z-Series soybeans again?
You bet your next level genetics I did. After last year's huge yields, why wouldn't I want to maximize that Z-Series momentum?
Right. How could I forget about that performance? It totally beat our expectations. Let's unleash some Z-Series on those acres. Come on.
Now you're talking. With that kind of ROI, why would we plant anything else?
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
The Dairy Business Association has undergone a leadership change. Congratulations, Chad Zuliger, on his new role as the executive director. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Chad's job title may be new, but he's not new to DBA. His background with DBA is on the policy and advocacy side of the association. He tells us how that experience led him to the helm of the Dairy Business Association.
I was brought on board in 2019, having worked for about 8 years in the state capitol as a staffer for a state representative. I moved over without a lot of dairy background, but certainly a lot of knowledge about the inner workings of the state capitol and how to move a bill through the legislature and get it signed by the governor, and really just kind of put that skill set to use for the association advocating for pro-dairy policy and sensible regulation. And just have been doing that ever since, working to grow our collaborative network through participation in our Ag Coalition. We established the Clean Water Initiative to try to address some of the water quality concerns that were sprouting up around 2018-19 timeframe. And been working across lines with some conservation groups. That relationship and collaboration continues to pay dividends and works really well for us in the state capitol. On both sides of the aisle. So really just continuing to endeavor to put DBA in a good light, in a good position, again, to be a resource to lawmakers as they develop policy in the Capitol.
We'll talk more about how that role may continue in some capacity at the Capitol, even with the new title. First, I want to ask you why we've seen some leadership changes in DBA and Voice of Milk as a whole over the past couple weeks. What's going on as you do some restructuring, and how did that lead to you now leading DBA?
Voice of Milk encompasses a few different organizations, DBA being the one we're talking about now, but we are also a part of the Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Minnesota Milk has joined the family of the Voice of Milk, and we still work with the Farmers for Sustainable Food Organization that administers several producer-led watershed groups around the state. So just over the last year or so, we've been engaged in some strategic planning, looking at how the four organizations work together. We share staff and just making sure that our missions align, both from a state and federal policy area, but also just providing value and resources to our members in the most efficient way possible. So this is sort of the culmination of about a year's worth of strategic planning, and we're continuing to roll out some changes, and I think we're really excited about what the future holds for DBA, but also for the larger Voice of Milk family of organizations.
Chad, as you step into the role, what are perhaps some of the challenges that you think face the Dairy Business Association today that need to be priority number one for you?
Well, as you know, there are no shortage of challenges to farm operations, whether in Wisconsin or anywhere across the country. And really, we want to position Wisconsin dairy farmers to be the best they can be, but also to be able to continue to do the work they need to do for themselves, to feed families, but also to feed their own families. So we continue to strive for sensible regulations that don't encumber our farm operations, but also to share the message of dairy farmers with policymakers and regulators who may not understand completely what 21st century dairy farming looks like and the real challenges and opportunities that are out there in rural communities and what farmers can do to continue to play a big role in our state's economy and provide that real backbone of stability as the state continues to deal with challenges from a finance standpoint. Our agriculture industry is really the backbone of this state, and we want to continue to be there for them. And that takes a lot of education. And, most lawmakers are further and further removed from the farm. So we really want to get them out on farms, talk to the members, have the members be able to share their concerns and positive aspects of farming and how they can continue to, play a role in this state going forward.
So, Chad, it sounds like your work at the state capitol is not finished, even with the new job title.
No, I will continue to lead the advocacy efforts for DBA in Madison, a role I cherish and really enjoy and really, have been working in and around state government for a long time. Really just excited to continue my role advocating for our state's dairy farmers.
When you mentioned the strategic plan that Voice of Milk as a whole went through, Dairy Business Association went through, was it a priority to have someone with your policy knowledge and background and relationships at the helm of DBA? Because it sounds like a lot of this farmer storytelling with lawmakers is a big priority.
Yeah, it really was. It's really our mission, and we're going to have a renewed emphasis on engaging our members and providing programs and resources they need to position our members again, to be fully engaged in the legislative and policy arena, really to share that voice and strengthen that voice of our dairy farms right here in the state capitol. So, yes, for sure, that was part of the strategic plan, was, again, to provide value to our members and continue to be a strong advocate for issues related to dairy, to strengthen business, but also to strengthen our rural communities around the state.
You know, is there anything circulating the state capitol today that you particularly have your eye on?
It's been a real quiet summer after the state budget wrapped up in late June, early July. Most lawmakers went back to the district to do parades and be in the districts to have listening sessions to hear what their communities are interested in and really help develop what the priorities are going to be for the fall and next spring sessions. But yes, I mean, there's still always more work to do. We did not move the grazing initiative, and we're going to continue to work on that this fall and spring. We're also looking and very intrigued by a provision that was inserted into the budget related to dairy innovation, really talking about how farmers can innovate, dealing with a lot of the challenges they're facing, but really moving dairy forward, sustainable practices, but also innovating and creating better business models and farms of all sizes and business types can engage in farming in this state. And that's really what we want to, the message we want to send is that Wisconsin remains a great place to dairy farm.
Chad Zuliger speaking to his excitement for the leaders in place across the Voice of Milk organizations, including the Dairy Business Association. Chad is now DBA's executive director, and his policy and advocacy background will come in handy as he continues to lead those efforts in the state capitol. He says in today's political climate and with state legislator and gubernatorial elections on the way, it's a critical time for dairy farmers to have a voice. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Metnair on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The midterm gerrymandering arms race is on, with the current balance of power in the U.S. Congress 219 Republicans to 213 Democrats. Red states Texas and Missouri have finished manipulating their congressional maps. What states are next? Heeding President Donald Trump's call to gerrymander more GOP seats, Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe signed the legislature's new congressional map September 28th, splitting a Kansas City district to likely gain one more congressional seat for the GOP. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a plan August 29th, gerrymandering five GOP seats. A Democratic plan in California awaits a referendum in November. September 23rd, Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly called for meetings around the state to hear public testimony on mid-decade redistricting and avoided calling a special session. Meanwhile, the GOP, with its supermajority in the state House and Senate, needs signatures from two-thirds of the legislature to call a special session for itself. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said in August that redistricting would be, quote, appropriate, but there's been no concrete action thus far. Ohio's redistricting committee met September 24th, ahead of a September 30th deadline. Governors Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire and Kay Ivey in Alabama have said they do not support reopening the redistricting process. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by the executive director of Block, Angela Lang. We discuss the current state of the gubernatorial candidates here in the state of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allbull Show.
Weather is fantastic. Let's talk about it. Stumach, ag meteorologist, along with us. And yeah, I'm getting a lot of folks out in the fields that have said they're wrapping up this field or this crop and continuing to roll on. I don't see a reason why you would need to worry about the pace of the harvest right now, huh?
No, I don't suppose, but depends how much you have and all the other factors, you know.
Yep.
But Mother Nature is being pretty helpful.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, like I said, that's good for all the people, all the volunteers and attendees at World Dairy Expo. But we are already talking about if it's going to ding attendance because it's a toss-up. Do I stay home and keep going with the harvest or do I take a day and come to the dairy show?
Right. And, you know, there's not much that's going to change that in this forecast either, except that it is very, very warm. And the big news, I'm sure it felt warm at World Dairy Expo. It did everywhere yesterday. We set a record high. 87 degrees was the high at La Crosse. That's a record for this time of the year. And all of the rest of us were very close. I mean, it was 86 at Madison. Very, very mild weather has really settled in and is going to be in store. I really don't expect that to change in a great measure. Maybe a couple of degrees cooler for today. And when you look at upper 80s yesterday, upper 70s could be a little more widespread into Wednesday, but that's the coolest day of the week. After that, those temps rise up again toward Thursday and Friday. A very mild weather pattern is in store and is exactly what we're going to deal with right on toward the end of the week. A big upper-level high-pressure system is holding on. A weak cool front has tried to drop into northern Minnesota and far northern Wisconsin. You look up in that way far northwest part of Minnesota, northeast North Dakota, they have some sprinkles up there today. That's it. Otherwise, it's going to stay dry here right through the end of the week. It may not be until the weekend, maybe Friday night, that far northwest, call it the northwest half of Wisconsin, could see just a little bit of a small rain chance. Otherwise, later in the weekend before we all get there. I'll have forecast details right after this.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel, all in, all season.
At Rural Mutual Insurance, we understand harvest season can bring long hours, tough decisions, and added stress. That's why this week on the Midwest Farm Report, we're shining a light on mental health in agriculture. Tune in each day or catch the Midwest Farm Report podcast to hear real stories from Wisconsin farmers and experts. And visit ruralmutual.com/farmsafety for resources to help you and your family stay safe and healthy this harvest season. Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
All right, buddy, let's have a little bit more on this delicious weather forecast.
Well, the one thing you might see this morning, Pam, is patchy fog.
Mm.
And that's been noted here and there from like the Kettle Moraine in southeast Wisconsin up into the northwest part of the state. So don't be surprised you find a little fog. Otherwise, I'd really expect a mostly sunny day. And in fact, we look for those highs to still make their way to the low 80s, maybe just a very upper 70 in the far northwest, as winds will become more east today around 5 or even 5 to 10. Partly cloudy overnight. Low to mid 50s, not all that cool with an east breeze. A few more clouds Wednesday. Call it partly sunny, and we stay a little cooler. Maybe even low 70s in the northwest, but upper 70s south with the southeast breeze. Back to sunny and warmer for Thursday as we all push back into the upper 70s and low 80s. And I'd say Friday, Pam, mid and even upper 80s in the south. Very warm.
Very warm. A record breaker yesterday. That's crazy. Well, today is the 29th. That's crazy.
Today is the 30th. Move your month along.
I get, this is a week where I will get confused about that, but I'll take every bit of this. Very good. All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
You bet. Keep cool.
Yeah. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, along with us. It's not just me keeping cool. We got cows to keep cool as well. The storytelling continues. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of The Todd Alba Show, an interview with UW-Madison's Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager, James Small.
So what is the mission of this relatively new program?
Most of my work is done with local government. So our goal of the program is to work on reliability and sustainability of the EMS response system itself. So a lot of that depends on funding from local government. It depends on organizational structure of the systems. We're not doing anything with patient care or system quality at all. There's other excellent training providers to provide that training. But where the gap really existed was to work with these local governments, particularly the small local governments that don't have the resources, to help walk them through that process, whether it's how do you increase funding, how do you maybe take your two volunteer ambulances and push them together and create one full-time ambulance and split the cost between the two communities. A lot of those kind of discussions.
What's the biggest challenge for these municipalities? And the second part of that, what's the cause in your opinion?
I'm not sure on the cause. I think that we've seen a decline nationwide in the availability of EMS services, particularly with volunteer services, that there's just a decline in availability of volunteers. I don't think that there's a lack of people wanting to go into it. Our licensing data is pretty consistent going back over a decade that at any given point we have about 18,000 people that have licenses in the state. What we do see is that about 7.5% of them are leaving the field every year and turning in their license. Maintaining a workforce, when you think about that, every 12 years we have to train the equivalent of the entire workforce, that's problematic. And then as we've seen the costs increase, that becomes very challenging, I think, for the particularly for the small municipalities to make that lift and look use the tools that are available to create the finances that are necessary to pay for things, because they may be going from a volunteer staff member to a full-time staff member, which is considerably more expensive. And then we also have like hyperinflation in this space, whether it's on capital equipment. Personnel costs are outpacing CPI by 2 to 3-fold going back almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all at once, where a few years ago you might have been hiring a full-timer for $50,000 a year, that position might be 80 or 90 now.
Wow.
So it's gotten really, really expensive really, really fast. You know, when it was a volunteer system in the 80s, when a lot of these systems really came of age, there wasn't 911 yet. Mm-hmm. So the amount of, the access of the system had a barrier in it, which 911 is erased. Having that capacity to handle these increases too. Because if you look at some of these systems, you know, if they formed back in the early 70s, they might have done like a dozen calls that first year. Mm-hmm. That same system might be doing like a couple thousand now.
Really?
And you're trying to do it with the same base that you built it off of these volunteers that came in that wanted to come help the community. And they needed a first aid card and a CPR card because there wasn't even EMS licensing yet. For now, it's a couple hundred hours of training to get in the door.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. We are hours away from the government shutting down as the passage of a budget seems unlikely at this point. The Democrats demanding the government subsidies be brought back to help people pay for health insurance. ABC's Rachel Scott has more on the stakes.
This is a big question before Democrats. Is this strategy going to work? And is it actually worth it? Shutting down the government comes with a major risk. At the same time, they're really putting a lot of weight in health care. They know that if these health care premiums rise for millions of Americans, voters may be actually really upset at Republicans instead of them.
Hamas says it will study the peace plan for Gaza that has the support of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu now and many in the international community. President Trump and Defense Secretary Hegseth will address hundreds of high-ranking military officials who've been called to a gathering in Virginia today. No additional bodies found in the rubble of a Mormon church in Michigan where a gunman opened fire and set the building ablaze on Sunday. This is ABC News.
The Bucks add coffee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks introduced their new 6'7" forward, Amir Coffee, at their media day. Coffee played for Bucks head coach Doc Rivers when the two were together at the LA Clippers.
I got on the phone with Doc and we had a couple good conversations. And, I felt comfortable with the decision I made to come here and, start back up with him.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, unable to attend, he's still in Greece with COVID and was asked on a Zoom call, how's he doing after playing in the European League this summer?
Me personally, I'm feeling good. My confidence is in an all-time high right now. Can't wait to, get on the court with the guys and try to represent the team in the best way possible.
Baseball, the Cubs host the Padres in the wild card playoffs. The winner of that three-game series will face the Brewers in the National League Divisional Playoffs in Milwaukee on Saturday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, getting to know another candidate for the Wisconsin governor's race. State Senator Kelda Royce joins us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report. Right here on WISS.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 74 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low dropping into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways. Yeah. Find some common ground and then expand on that. And right. Then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. We can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Darren Von Ruden appearance on Mattenair on Air.
How are our dairy farmers doing?
So Dadcap's latest numbers showed that we're down to just a little bit over 5,200 dairy farms. Back in 1986, when I graduated from high school, we had 44,800 and something dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin. And so today, now with that information coming out, we've dropped a lot faster than I thought we would. Back in the late 90s, I did some work on dairy pricing reform and tried to get a system in that would hopefully keep more smaller farms in business, and have not succeeded in that yet. And so, we're looking at that number, continuing to dwindle. So next year, by the time my 40-year graduation date is, I'm pretty sure we're going to be under 5,000 dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin, because we're still losing one and a half a day. Since 2020, we've lost 25% of the dairy farms here in the state. And, it's disheartening. Really, it should be looking at a national security issue for a couple different reasons. Number one, because diversity is always the best way to have a food system. If you get too congregated, it really puts the whole system at stake. And number two, we just have to make sure that we have a high quality workforce. We're losing those generations of high quality workers.
I guess the question, and something we always talk about, Darren, on the show, whether it's with you or with other farmers or just in general when we're discussing this topic, is the government's role in working with the farmers and the farming industry. What is, in your mind, and I don't even want to say a perfect world, but what does the government do in your version that helps sustain the amount of farmers, grow them, or at least take care of them to the place where they're not having to worry every single day about shutting down. What do you want to see from the government as far as partnership? What do they need to do?
So number one thing is make sure that there's a fair market. Looking at what's going on across the country with the very uncompetitive markets that we see, because we can't sell our products into a market that's not being manipulated by big business at this point. It's been that way for decades already. It's just getting worse because we have less players there. Number two, making sure that farmers get a plus production for the products that they produce so that they can stay in business and that, you know, new farmers can actually come into the business too. Or number three, stop handing out government checks to the largest farms at prices at an amount that's way above what should be.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
We'll make a run up in the postseason.
1670 AM.
Ah, the energy is already palpable. 9 a.m. this morning, the gates open officially, World Dairy Expo 2025. Welcome back. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee. This is the Midwest Farm Report. And I do want to let you know, lots of different information that you can follow throughout the course of the day, the week. The team is putting together great TikTok videos. They've got Instagram feeds that are up, Facebook videos that are going live, and a lot of content on MidwestFarmReport.com, obviously. Now, a brand new tool to keep you in the loop with us. Our brand new app is now available to be downloaded on any platform. Android or Apple, go to your Play Store, look for Midwest Farm Report, and download the app. It gives you a chance to send us pictures and videos, to leave us voice messages, and of course, get all the great content that we're generating, not just during World Dairy Expo, but every day. Midwest Farm Report on your Apple or Android. Download the app and let us know what you think about it, all right? So today is the 30th day of September. Let me see. Here's a Wisconsin-specific item. On this day, 1859, Abraham Lincoln spoke at the Wisconsin State Fair. In his speech, he connected agriculture to education. Lincoln said, "Every blade of grass is a study, and to produce two where there was but one is both a profit and a pleasure." Last time that Lincoln was in Wisconsin, during that Wisconsin State Fair speech, after he won the presidential election, Lincoln signed into law the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So that's all the way back to 1859. On this day, 1960, we were all introduced to Fred and Wilma, Barney and Betty, Bam Bam and Pebbles. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, on this day back in 1960, the Flintstones premiered. Also, let's say happy birthday today to the nanny, actress Fran Drescher, 68 years young today, and now you know. Checking in on a Tuesday with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFESgroup.com. Great website. Even if you're not necessarily shopping, there's probably something there that will catch your interest, I'd say. And if you're ready to go as far as an auction is concerned, or maybe you've got some questions you want somebody to answer, they'd love to talk to you. 800-726-8609. 800-726-8609. As usual on a Tuesday, our friend Ashley Hoon from the Steffes Group is along with us. Today's kind of a critical day. I mean, I think about it as day number one of World Dairy Expo. But for you folks at the Steffes Group, this is kind of the last day if you want to get into the fall catalog. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are maybe on the fence a little bit about having an auction yet this fall. And this is the last week. If you get your auction book this week, it will be in the fall catalog. Not that there won't be time later on, but if you want to be in that great advertising piece that goes all around the country, now is the time to move on that.
Well, and like we said, people are busy right now here in Wisconsin. We've even started combining soybeans. So I know that time is precious. Getting that in front of everybody so they've got a little bit more time to digest the sales that are on the horizon, probably a benefit for you.
Yeah, it really is. You know, you're in that catalog, each auction's in there. There's a QR code. So when people are looking through it,
They just hover their phone over it and it takes them right to the auction. It's a slick deal.
Holy Moses, I see you guys are really attracting a lot of construction businesses to do a little transaction on through the Steffes Group. Tell people a little bit about why the construction groups work in well with your heavy base in agriculture.
Yeah, so, you know, we've got facilities in Las Vegas and in Colorado. Those are mostly all construction. And, you know, we do a fair amount around the upper Midwest as well. But it's kind of their year end as some of the jobs are getting done for the summertime. So there's 8 construction auctions that are going to be conducted here in October. And, you know, farmers use a lot of construction stuff on their farms nowadays. So might want to take a look at that.
Yeah, exactly. If you've seen anybody that's doing, for example, corn silage on a larger scale, most of that stuff would qualify as construction sized equipment. Or maybe you're in that business and you're looking for a deal. Steffes Group can help you out. And it doesn't just slow down once we get fully into the harvest, Ashley. You've got people already thinking ahead to 2026.
Yeah, oddly enough, you know, there's people that are going to plan 6 months, maybe a year out. So there's already 9 farm retirement auctions booked for the next year already.
And that's not bad because it gives you guys a great chance to not only market their position in the calendar year, but also market some of those individual pieces.
Yeah, you know, think of it this way. If I was going to have a March auction and I knew right now that I was going to do that in the spring, we could be taking pictures where there's still green grass on the instead of full of snow and that kind of thing. So when you plan ahead, it makes the process go way better.
That is for sure. Don't forget, folks, this is the last week to get your bill in if you want to be in their fall catalog. And that goes to not only interested buyers, but remember, it's also a tool a lot of bankers use, real estate operators, and those that are in similar businesses to the Steffes Group. A lot of people turn their eyes on trends that the Steffes Group is witnessing. Ashley Hune along with us, and remember their website if you want to see just how good a job they do, steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, or give them a call, 800-726-8609. Ashley Hune along with us on a Tuesday from the Steffes Group.
When it comes to growing the state fruit, Wisconsin's cranberry farmers do it best. But today, Dave Zawistowski with Lake Nokomis Cranberries says the consumer is looking for more than just a product. They want a story. Dave says he tried all kinds of different businesses outside of the marsh to diversify the farm income. He decided to focus on what they're good at, cranberries, and sharing that experience with visitors.
Bringing the people to the farm there, it's exciting for them, exciting for us, and that business has grown. We started out a little gift store in the corner of our office. Now it's grown to literally, we can have a few hundred people through during the day on a weekend or something, even during the week. People are looking for a destination, and we started a winery too.
Dave Zawistowski along with us from Lake Nokomis Cranberries in Eagle River. Find a cranberry marsh near you at gowiagtourism.com.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Do you love a good grilled cheese? Well, I'll tell you what, if you're nodding your head, then there's your reason why you could join us at World Dairy Expo. Stephanie Hoff's got a story about the great grilled cheese sandwiches at World Dairy Expo just around the corner. So Wisconsin farmers are using this warm, dry weather to move forward on the harvest. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows 4% of our corn for grain has already been harvested. 66% of the corn silage is in, and we've got about 6% of our soybeans that have already been combined off. 72% of our potatoes have already been dug. So we're moving along nicely when it comes to the harvest of 2025. Now, markets this morning in Chicago right now are December new crop corn still down a penny and a half at 420. November new crop beans down about 4 at 10.06. July wheat, that's down 2.5, 558 a bushel. The barrel cheese yesterday in Chicago was up 2.25 cents at 164.5. 40-pound block cheese was up 4 at 166.5. Double A butter, 4 cents stronger, $1.76 a pound. October class 3 milk that goes into cheese, 13 cents stronger right now at $17.12. November is up 8 at $16.71 a hundredweight. So you say, Pam, I don't know why I would ever go to World Dairy Expo. Well, aside from seeing world-class beautiful bovines and doing a little shopping at the Purple Cow, Stephanie Hoff has another example of why you should be at World Dairy Expo.
Enjoying a grilled cheese at World Dairy Expo is truly a staple in the whole experience, and it's brought to you courtesy of UW-Madison students. Grace Mansell, who hails from Roberts, Wisconsin, is a biological systems engineering student on campus, and she's spearheading the grilled cheese stand this year at Expo. Her passion for the dairy industry stems from helping her grandparents on their dairy farm in New Richmond, and she's kept that passion alive through Badger Dairy Club, one of the organizations that staffs the grilled cheese stand.
We are estimating to sell about 20,000 grilled cheeses throughout this week. It takes about 15 people at our peak time. As you can see, this morning we're running a little short. So, you know, sometimes we have one person on four griddles and we're making it work. But our crew here is really good about jumping in and helping out and making sure that everything gets done. So it's awesome.
20,000 grilled cheeses made fresh, so you do get that cheese stretch when you open these babies up.
Yes, yeah, that's our big thing, you know? We want them hot and fresh for our customers. We want to make sure that what they're paying for is good quality and exactly what they want.
Tell me about acquiring the cheese, the bread, and the meat, too, for your ham and cheeses. Who are the sponsors?
Yeah, so our major sponsors are Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. They help supply all of the specialty cheeses Monday through Friday, each of the different flavors. And then AMPI and Dinner Bell Creamery supply all of our American cheese and our butter. And then our bread this year we got from Quick Trip, and they helped sponsor that. And then our pork is sponsored by the Wisconsin Pork Association, and Wilson Farm Meats is a supplier.
Yeah, we know dairy is the name of the game during World Dairy Expo, but it is pork month come October 1st, and you've got the pork.
Yes, we sure do. I got to go find some more after this because we're selling them like crazy, so it's good.
It is good. Thank you, Grace Mansell. She is in charge of the Badger Dairy Club's grilled cheese sandwich stand at World Dairy Expo. Stephanie Hoff got a chance to not only sample, but bring that story as well. And remember, every day they change the cheese varieties that they feature on that grilled cheese sandwich. They'll also sell about 10,000 chocolate malts that they have at the grilled cheese stand. And don't forget, there's ice cream on grounds, too. Just another reason why we want you to come out and join us at World Dairy Expo. Joining us next, John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Michigan's Supreme Court will hear a challenge against the Line 5 pipeline, the same oil pipeline Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to reroute across northern Wisconsin. Opponents argue the Michigan Public Service Commission broke state laws when it approved the company's plan to drill an oil tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. A new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin shows nitrate pollution is taking a toll in our state. Thousands of families are paying higher costs to access safe drinking water and facing serious health risks because of nitrate pollution from fertilizer and manure. In 2022, farmers likely applied 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer beyond what crops needed. Right now on the Defender podcast, what do data centers mean for our water, land, energy bills, and why is it so hard to find out? An in-depth conversation on the secrets of data centers. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, retired Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Chris Foran discusses great stories he's covered and talks movies. And Sean Hanisch discusses the theatrical release of No Packers, No Life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matinee on Air.
I always use the opportunity to get judging pencils for the year. as the kids are required to give me two pencils during the course of the day.
So. Well, they will be out in force picking up whatever they can pick up, I'm sure, for their advisors and filling out questionnaires. The question I've got for you this morning, John, we get a USDA grain stock report out. What's the temper or tone in the marketplace today?
I think it's been weighing on the prices a little bit here. Obviously, harvest is the biggest thing going on right now. But there's just some talk out there that we're going to see a few extra bushels on that old crop supply that maybe last year's 4-bushel cut in January in terms of bushels of corn production was a little steep. That was reflective maybe of the cash prices and how the market acted over the summer. You know, we just never saw the prices rally with the good demand that we had out there. So that's going to be the little wild card today. Do we see some adjustments on that old crop corn supply? Which I think the market's a little nervous about, and that's some of the reason we've just kind of flattened out here the last handful of days, just kind of preparing for hopefully not a big number there, but at least some adjustment upward in terms of the corn supply.
Well, and people are going to automatically say, how is the international demand for our corn, soybeans, whatever? That's kind of a depends which commodity you look at these days, John.
Very much so. I mean, obviously, let's stay on that corn demand because that right now is that running at a record pace after last week's export sales numbers. The 2025-26 marketing year is the best start to the corn export program that we've ever had. It eclipsed the 2020-21 program year with the strong sale pace. And what's interesting about that is in 2021, China bought 48% of that corn. And we're doing that this year without any Chinese purchases on the corn side either. So again, it just shows you how things kind of shifted on the global demand as China moved its business elsewhere. Other importers have stepped up and really bought U.S. corn in a strong clip. This week's sales numbers are going to be strong as well. We got already a million metric tons. They're about 60 million bushels on the books that we know are coming on this week's report. And that's not counting the bushels that are sold on kind of what we call under the table or below the reportable level. So U.S. corn is continuing to be a good value here. And that's some of the support that we see in this market.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. TotalFarmMarketing.com, their website, 800-334-9779, the phone number if you want to talk to John. So, you know, the question is, how long can we keep it up? And what about things like ethanol demand, John? I see that they're pushing hard, trying to get E15 into California again. Tell me about some of the other domestic demands and how corn may be looking.
Yeah, ethanol demand continues to be strong. We still like to get a little more clarity on some of the biofuel issues in terms of what the government programs are, and that's something that's been a little bit of a weight on the marketplace. The biggest one still in corn, and reason we could see that extra bushels is going to come down to feed usage. You know, we are feeding animals to the largest weights ever right now in terms of getting pounds into the system. That uses a lot of extra corn, but that's one of those wiggle numbers. We just don't know how the USDA is going to calculate it. So, and obviously with hog numbers and cattle numbers, below expectations here, and cattle numbers way below expectations, that's still going to be that little piece of the puzzle we don't really have a good handle on. You know, grain stocks will help with that a little bit today.
All right. Again, that report coming out, USDA's grain stock report, something you might want to keep an eye on in the marketplace. Is there any sign of life out there for soybeans? I think that's the number one question I get from people that may not even be involved in agriculture is what's going on with soybean demand.
Yeah, the soybean demand continues to be a struggle, obviously focusing on the Chinese business and the lack thereof at this time frame. Now, I still think China's going to have to come to the market a little. There's some needs that they need to meet for late for October, November, December window. So we'll see if we can get something happening there. But right now, that still weighs on that market. But at least the usage on the crush side, as well as some of the export demand to non-Chinese buyers, is at a pretty good clip. And obviously, we got 2 million less acres, so that yield's going to be very, very key as we start harvest here. And this August weather did not help.
Yeah, right. We talked about that all morning long. Let's pivot for just a moment back to cattle. That's one thing that was making news, I know, a week ago when we worried about the New World screw worm being 70 miles from the U.S. border. Has that settled down a little bit? Give me a quick beef update in the 30 seconds or so we've got.
Yeah, that has kind of settled again, but it's still a major concern out there. But now the beef market is kind of falling apart a little bit here, not falling out of the bed yet, but just the money seems to be tired of the cattle market at this time frame. Fundamentals have kind of softened, cash down, retail down. But I think it just sets us up for another pretty interesting winter as those cattle numbers continue to be at record lows.
Oh, it is crazy to see. All right, John, I'm going to let you go, buddy, and I'll think of you today when I see all the blue and gold looking for free pencils.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
John Heinberg joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, their website, totalfarmmarketing.com or 800-334-9779. If you want to pick his brain about what's going on. World Dairy Expo officially open at 9. We'll see you out there.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Hey, did you know that you could test drive a car to help fund breast cancer research? It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411. And Drive for a Cure 2025, it's almost here. It's on October 4th, beginning at 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. at your local Bergstrom Volkswagen of Oshkosh. And all you got to do is test drive one of their featured vehicles, and they'll donate $1 for every mile driven to help fund breast cancer research in Wisconsin. Plus, prizes, giveaways, and free food and refreshments. Check it out. Head to WISS.FM and click events.
A free online tool to help dairy farmers work more sustainably. Today on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support help turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. Tractor rollovers are one of the most common causes of farm deaths and injuries. One simple device helps reduce the danger significantly, a rollover protective structure. Standard on most new tractors, but they're also available to add to many older tractor models. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthshoreProductions.com. Dairy Management Incorporated, an umbrella organization that manages research and promotion for the dairy industry, offers a sustainability tool for dairy producers. The Dairy Conservation Navigator is a free online platform for dairy conservation, according to Jackie Coleman, a senior VP at DMI.
You know, it really is a non-biased resource. You know, we're not looking to sell anything or promote any one vendor. We simply want to provide educational materials that can help people make more informed decisions. All the information we share is science-based, it's cited, it's USDA reviewed, so people can feel very confident in the rigor that was put behind the materials presented.
DMI Senior Director of Sustainability Projects, Bridget Hilshey, says more than 70 experts in various parts of the dairy world were consulted as the Navigator was put together.
What really makes the Dairy Conservation Navigator unique is that it's not just another information dump. We've really tried to design it to be a knowledge hub. We built the Navigator to bridge that gap between funding and research and real-world application, and it brings everything together in this real practical, cross-disciplinary way with honest discussions of the benefits of certain practices as well as the trade-off.
Learn more on the show info page at NorthshoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Alba.
Federal government shutdown looms, healthcare in danger. We'll discuss it with Sean Fettaplace of the Main Street Action Alliance. Also, Alex Bedorsky is in talking about Knowles Nelson Conservancy.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Let's remind each other life matters. If you're feeling overwhelmed, help is just a call away at 988. It's National Suicide Prevention Month, and you are not alone. This message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Without a deal in place on funding, the federal government will shut down tonight at midnight. Democrats trying to get more funding for Obamacare subsidies. Republicans refusing, and federal workers are stuck in the middle. Again, says American Federation of Government Employees President Mark Cochran.
You're just getting kicked in the teeth left and right all the time from, you know, the government that you've spent your life dedicated to. It gets tiring after a while. So it's hard. It really is.
The 20-point Gaza peace plan put forth by President Trump has the support of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and much of the international community. Hamas, however, still has not weighed in. Today is that big meeting between President Trump, Defense Secretary Hegseth, and top generals and admirals from around the world. The officers have not been told what the meeting is about. And the $7,500 government tax credit for buying an EV runs out today. This is ABC News. Catch